Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And it's now or never, folks. If we're going to take back this country, if we're going to take back our Constitution, our liberties, and the Republic, if we're going to do that, we actually have to start acting now. We're providing you everything we need to provide you with. And as a matter of fact, I'm not here trying to, you know, aggrandize myself. Government does a great job in aggrandizing themselves. But the fact of the matter is that I'm only offering you what I would consider a roadmap, but it's not GR's roadmap. If you believe that our Constitution was designed and inspired by the Creator, and as a matter of fact, that's how the framers referenced our Father in heaven. And so they always used our Creator, the divine hand of providence, him, he. They never used his name because they were very, very humble people, and they knew that they lived the commandments. You weren't supposed to take his name in vain, so they avoided every time to even say God or what have you. That's why they used our Creator, and then there's the Lord and Savior. So two separate beings, right? Well, anyway, the paradigm. And that gets us right down. Whenever we start talking about that type of thing, then everybody starts getting into religious doctrine, and that's not the intent here. The intent is that if you believe that our Constitution was inspired by him and designed by him, because it was well outside the grasp of those men that were in that room. These were bright men. These were humble men. These were righteous men. But to create the bicameral legislative system, to create this all-encompassing checks and balances, it was well beyond the grasp of everybody. And so this is one of the reasons why Madison kept on pointing to, hey, you got to follow the Constitution as it was sold, not as people pervert it, because he was very well aware of how it was being perverted. But more importantly, if you understand that he was the one that gave us this, then you also have to understand that he was well aware of what we would be facing here in America today. He knew what evil was going to fall upon us. He gave us everything we needed right here in the Constitution. The only thing GR has done, because nobody else has done this or said this, at least I've never heard anybody say this, and point to the compact and the ratification debates. And since Madison stated this in 1821, that if you want to understand the Constitution, you have to look at how the states understood it at the time of ratification. That's how important the ratification debates are. It's not something we can marginalize. It is not something that, blah. Yeah, no, we don't go to the Federalist Papers. We don't go to his notes on the Constitutional Convention. We go to the ratification debates, and we have to actually separate the information in those things. And I tell you this all the time. Make the text of the Anti-Federalist red and make the text of the Federalist green. Why? Because the states rejected what the Anti-Federalist stated. They accepted and ratified the Constitution based on what they were told and how the Federalist sold the Constitution to the delegates. Now, most all these delegates were pretty smart, but you will realize that inside the ratification debates are terms, definitions of the compact, explanations and clarifications of the Constitution in the ratification debates that actually conflict with what the judges have been telling us, John Marshall being the first. And just to give you a little side note, John Marshall was at the ratification debates. Why didn't he point to how they defined it during the ratification debates instead of making up his own theory, like this supreme clause or the supremacy clause and the necessary and proper clause? he started perverting it in his opinions. Down the road, those opinions became the unconstitutional footings for the federal government to continually aggrandize themselves. Never once. The annotated constitution that the federal government is using is all based on, and I want you to understand this, that the Supreme Court cannot create law. They can't amend the Constitution. They have no power other than to say, yes, it's in the Constitution, that's a violation, or no, it's not in the Constitution, that's not a violation, or vice versa. And bottom line, their opinions cannot create law. If they believe a person has a right to marriage, regardless of their sexual orientation, that doesn't make it law. And yet they have aggrandized themselves to make it law. One thing you may not know is John Jay was in the Supreme Court. And when he was asked if he would please rejoin the Supreme Court instead of having to appoint a new one, because they basically took him off of the Supreme Court so that he could go and work this abominable treaty over the Mississippi, and it came back as a big failure. Everybody, you know, understands that in history, but they asked him after his wounds had kind of healed and after he kind of started showing his head, because he was pretty humbled. It was such a bad deal. And so, and he had to have known it. But anyway, when he was coming back to, you know, to, I won't say prominence, but getting active again, he was asked, would you please consider taking a position on the Supreme Court again? And his response basically was that there's no way I want to go back there. Those guys have no power. It's a dead-end job, because if you look at what they do, that's, you know, it is very mundane. Yes, it's in the Constitution. No, it's not in the Constitution. Yes, that's in the Constitution. And that's all they're supposed to do. It was Marshall that started using opinion and trying to create precedents and actually building in some of his cases on earlier rulings of precedents. There is no allowance in the Constitution for precedents. Oh, well, because I said this before, or because Marshall stated this, then we can assume that this is law. They have no power to do that. But I digress. As you know, we're here to help you. And this isn't about GR's map. This isn't anything like that. What I am showing you is exactly what the framers have put into their own words of defining the Constitution and the ratification debates, defining how we're supposed to actually take on the general government when it violates the compact. These aren't GR's words. These are James Madison, Thomas Jefferson's words. These are the framers' words. This is why I read them. I am not an entertainer. I may be a marginal reader. Getting older, you don't read as well. And that's why we're hoping that we've found somebody that's actually offered. And if you want to get involved in reading the ratification debates, just let me know. It'll be some work for you, because you'll have to do some audio editing and some other stuff. But if we already have one person that's piped up that really wants to do this, and I go, okay, that's great. I'm going to help that person. It becomes a little bit easier for me to be honest with you, it's a lot more work, but I would much rather have audience participation. I would much rather have a team involved in this than just GR constantly, you know, monologuing and just going on and on and on and reading and editorializing and so forth. That'll still give you the editorializing, but, you know, I'm just trying to get other people involved. So one of the other things I need, I've asked people to send me their emails for your state. If everybody listening in each of the states would say, you know, go to your state legislators and create an email list for your representatives and your Senate. That's all I need. Representatives and Senate. Then you will get, and they will get, but the constitutional minutes. Now, I haven't posted last week's constitutional minutes. I will do that, or the constitutional minute. I will do that this weekend, and the next constitutional minute will be coming out this week. So every week we try to provide one. And this first one for this year was just basically a look back of kind of what I gave them before and pointed them to the constitutional minutes for last year. I also pointed out the fact that Red Pill Expo, so you need to start getting on board with this, and you need to start demanding that your state legislators get involved with Red Pill Expo. Not Red State Expo. I probably said Red State. Anywho, the reason why they need to get involved with this is because this is where they'll meet with their fellow state legislators. They actually have, this is why it's free for them. We have a working conference on Saturday where we take time away from the Red Pill Expo, and we'll actually drill into the power that these people possess. They are the sovereigns of the states. Now, there's a lot of things I need to get into, but I also want to get into some Friday feedback and other things. But I want you to start driving these messages. So make a note for yourself. You need to start whenever you meet, see your state representative and or your senator, you make sure, or when you go to a campaign function this coming summer, you ask them, did they ever attend Red Pill Expo? If they're a Republican, if they're a conservative, a constitutionalist, I mean, it's one thing if they're a Democrat socialist, but it's one thing if they're a socialist, but it's another thing if they support the Constitution. You need to say, well, why aren't you going? Because there's actually a class, or not even a class, there's a meeting to help state legislatures understand the Constitution and what to do in this constitutional crisis we're facing. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that we are getting into is the Tory Acts, and we already covered them at the end of the year, and that was for a very specific purpose. But there's two things that really come out of this, and this is why I keep on saying it's now or never, folks, is when we look at the Tory Acts, this was how the colonists responded to the British tyranny. And in the Tory Acts, there are two very specific messages you need to take away. So when we get into that, we'll cover those two specific messages. Let me get into those personal endorsements that I want to provide. Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you have, and this is one of the hardest things I think people have to, you know, come to acknowledge. And as a matter of fact, if you're married, it's even extra hard because you have to get your spouse who may not see the problem. Oh, well, why, you know, we're making okay. We're getting by. Why can't we just spend the money on the things we need? They don't understand the importance of saving money for a rainy day. Well, you need to try to impress that upon them. Because especially in today's uncertainty, when you look at the fact of, wow, you know, the company I work for could be closed down. Look at all the companies that have been closed down because of government tyranny. That's one reason why you have to get involved now or never, just to save your job. And secondly, the reality is that you need to come to grips with, and it's my advice, if you can, have 3 months of your wages in savings. 3 months, whatever you're bringing home, you need to have that much money tucked away in the bank for an absolute emergency. Because it's going to take you 3 months if all of a sudden things are really bad. There's a way, if you have 3 months full worth of what you spend right now, what you're bringing in and spending out the door, if you have 3 months, all of a sudden you lose your job, you can cut the TV, you can cut the unessential things, you can reduce your gas, you can reduce your outflow to a bare minimum, and you might actually be able to make 4 or 5 months out of 3 months worth of earnings. More importantly, within 3 months, if you realize that, you know, things have gotten so bad because the state you may live in a red state, such as South Dakota. We're working on this right now. But if you live in South Dakota, then the one thing that you actually may want to consider is, you know, looking at about having to move if you're in the timber industry, because they're shutting down the timber industry. Or you're going to have to retrain. You may need to go to school. You may need to get a new skill. 3 months savings will not necessarily cover all of that, but it will help you start shifting. If you've got to move, it might help you move. It might help you be able to, you know, go to plan B or you know, bug out. And if you're thinking about, you know, the real long strategy, you need to have, I believe everybody should have 1 year. 1 year worth of salary tucked away in savings, locked down. You don't spend it. That is your real emergency plan. You need to have another little savings for emergency issues like your water, you know, your water tank has to be replaced, or roofing even. You want to get to a point where you can have enough savings so that if you need to do the roof on your house, because out of most everything that could happen to your home, you know, a leaky roof, you know, replacing appliances like your AC and your heating. If you live in a place where, you know, that's really important, because sub-zero is not, it's not, it may be cool to live in a sub-zero home without heating, but it is not socially acceptable. I mean, people aren't going to want to come over and visit and spend any time, if you understand what I'm saying. So, you need to actually start getting disciplined. So you may have to have these conversations. I understand how hard it is, but call Gary Smith, Fortitude Financial Coaching. Let's say you actually have a spouse that, you know, isn't willing to come along. You may want to call them and say, hey, you know, I really want to do this, but I don't have a spouse that's with me. Maybe he can even help you. Because if I remember correctly, I think Dave Ramsey kind of addresses how you can kind of articulate this, because sometimes that's all it takes, is how you can present the information and material to your loved ones so that they can go, oh, you know, I get this. I understand why we actually need to take control of our finances. Fortitude Financial Coaching, Gary Smith. The info is on our website. I think it's on the other links. So if you go there, if you can't find it, let me know. Anyway, I know we got a lot of content out there. We got free Constitution classes at constitutioneducation.us. I'm going into the details on these because I kind of slid through the week on this. this is Keith Broder's classes. Go look, go through these things and start sending these links to friends and other people so that they can start obtaining some of the education as well. It's, wow, this is kind of fascinating. Oh, this is good to know. We need people to actually be on board with understanding, at a minimum, the Constitution, because constitutional illiteracy is killing us. Timber Nation, hardwood furnishings. That's, I mean, I've said, I go on and on about Timber Nation. Go take a look at their website. Go take a look at the furniture that they do. Now, they don't have a real slick, just kind of like GR's website. It's kind of basic, but when you start looking at the pictures, that's not just basic furniture. That's well designed furniture. It comes to you RTA, ready to assemble. You just screw the screws in, put the little screw covers over it, and you're done. Go take a look, especially if you want good quality hardwood furnishings and the wood that you want and in the stain that you want. Let's say you're looking at an oak and you need a dark oak because all the stain that, you know, the house you bought came with dark oak stain. Well, most people, if you've ever been over to people's houses, you can look at the furnishings, and the furnishings, the stains don't match. I mean, so that's why, oh, well, you have to go out and buy a whole bedroom suite that'll all match. But why? Why can't you just go and buy one thing that you really want and then go buy the similar stain? Because nobody does it custom, or you pay a lot more money for that custom. And when you look at what you're buying from Timber Nation, you go, wow, that's a very reasonable price. Very reasonable. And it comes with free shipping. And the stuff I've received, it was so well packed, there was just no way it could have got damaged. Anyway, you'll be impressed. RadioDustCovers.com is how you can get your expensive electronics covered and protected. And so I know some people use sheets or plastic or what have you. Plastic can have electrostatic electricity that could actually damage your electronics. Go take a look at RadioDustCovers.com. And, you know, there's embroidery that will go on that as well. I think it's all included in the price. Reach out and give them a holler and say, hey, what would you charge for this? Because almost everything that they do is custom as well, because not everybody buys the exact same equipment. So they don't do any manufacturing. It'll come designed for what you have. Add local if you look for ISP support, infrastructure services. If you have any needs for domain maintenance or just picking up a domain, certificates, email services, so forth and so on. Add local with Ben Carr out of Michigan. Give him a call. Anywho, and I, you know what? I'm going to go. I think this weekend I will look and try to put all of these personal promos up on a particular site. Maybe contribute or what have you. But anyway, we'll find something to so that we can just point to it really easily, other than the other links, which is down below. Our comment line, 425-270-5416. Please give us a call and let us know any questions you have, such as Kenny wanted to understand how we can get Biden removed. He kind of missed some of the shows this week because I don't cover this every day. How boring would my show be if I just covered how we get rid of Biden? How do we get rid of Biden? How do we get? And so the way we get rid of Biden is by having Congress exercise what is being demanded of them in the lawsuit that they're facing. This lawsuit is dragging on, and bottom line, it really doesn't matter when you look at how Biden was seated into the presidency. It was done unconstitutionally, which is why we have an unconstitutional president. Those of you who want to understand why he's unconstitutional, go read the petition. Go read the charges against Congress. It is on reclaimingtherepublic.org on the petitions page. It's down below the current petitions that we're working with states and different counties to start drilling county commissioners, county supervisors, parish commissioners, or what have you. We're trying to get our county representation to actually understand that they have a responsibility in supporting the Constitution. These guys don't take an oath to support the Constitution. without having, you know, some expectations, or at least they've been getting away with doing nothing. How many county commissioners have taken a stand against your governor who has taken away your rights or done anything regarding Congress failing to act regarding this invasion on our southern border? Zip. Your county commissioners are not doing their job. And so they need to get down to that state house and actually demand that they stop this invasion and remove Congress as well as the state's Congress people. Go read these petitions. And I believe we've put it in context for you. Same thing with your rights. Your state cannot take away your individual rights. So you need to go to your county commissioners and demand that they go up to the state house. Because why? When you go to the state house, you are yourself. You represent yourself. When the county commissioners or your supervisors go to the state house, they represent everybody in the county. It's, in other words, it's 300,000 people that are behind this one guy, or behind these three people, or behind these five people. You need to go and demand that they all go and do their job or vote them out. We'll be right back after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
All right. Well, so before I move forward, because we were just talking about oaths, and I want to get into the U.S. citizen oath, but before I do, just a personal note. The vice president for the Constitution Party nomination, Bill Moore, had just passed away. And so, and I don't know the circumstances other than I believe it was from COVID. And if that's the case, and what's really been bothering me is for a long time, not just this death, but all of the deaths, knowing that the deaths and the protocols that they're exercising is absolutely abhorrent. As a matter of fact, they're killing us. The government, the CDC, are implementing protocols. They're restricting you access to the medicine. And I don't know if this is the case with Bill, but I do know that they're killing us. And what they're doing and the way they are acting and the way they're treating this COVID virus is that they're trying to get the biggest impact to create the greatest fearful society possible. so that we will surrender our liberties and let government run rickshaw over us. And so Bill, I don't know his family and how many people he leave behind, but he has a son that is also associated with the Constitution Party. And so I, you know, reached out and I at least told him, I said, my sincerest condolences. But I know what it's like, because I lost my father and I lost my mother, and I missed them both. And so, you know, going through the process of taking care of the surviving spouse, my father passed away first, so helping my mom get through this, you know, became, I don't want to say it's a burden, it was a pleasure, it was a blessing in many ways, but, you know, it's hard. And I understand that. And I'm hoping that you're getting equally upset, because we have to hold government fully accountable. And by the way, Trump's a part of that. You can't look at Trump and say he holds, you know, his hands are clean of this. Did he not basically wash the hands or tried to protect the pharmaceutical companies? How dare he do that? How dare he do that? There's no constitutional standing for the federal government to protect any company that they can't be sued for wrongful death. Are you kidding me? Oh, well, we wanted to get the vaccine out as quick as possible. There was nothing to warrant that. The deaths were not that high. They were high. And as a matter of fact, the real story should have been, how can we separate ourselves and the world from China? That, and so he went down that path in cutting off any travel to China and so forth. But I'm telling you, that is not enough. Our strategic plan should have been from that point, and it should have been it should be mandated upon Congress to completely sever our relationship and the world's relationship. As a matter of fact, anybody that wants just cheap stuff from China and wants to allow their citizens to be killed by their biological warfare games, then that's okay. We won't have any relationships with you either. We need to cut all ties. China is a hostile nation. They are looking to dominate with force. Look at how they dominate the countries that they've taken over. This is why I've said what I've said about, you know, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and these other nations coming into the United States. But that's another story. Let's get into our obligation as citizens. I have said this before, and I say this all the time regarding our obligations, but if you look at the oath of citizenship, even though you may be a naturally born citizen, I may have said this just recently, I think I have, even though you're a naturally born citizen, it doesn't relieve you of the responsibility to adhere to, or at least understand that you are obligated to support and defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. How hard is this to understand? Anybody that becomes a U.S. citizen, you know, naturalizing, has to take an oath to do that. As a natural born citizen, that oath is implied upon you. But the problem is we never connect the oath. So many people just think that they're entitled as a U.S. citizen and they can run rickshaw over the Constitution. Let me ask you this. If you're found as somebody that has been naturalized as a communist operative, and you take the U.S. citizen's oath, and then all of a sudden you find that this person is out there subverting the Constitution and committing political warfare against it, like supporting people coming across the border and all sorts of things that undermine our Constitution, well, what should happen to that person? They just took an oath. They violated their oath. They perjured themselves. At a minimum, they should lose their citizenship. At a minimum, they could become an inhabitant if they're not that big of a threat. But it sounds like when, you know, when we actually get slapped in the face and we realize, hey, this is a naturalized citizen that's doing this, usually that has to come with greater consequences. And so, I mean, it's, if you're active and a leader in a movement against the U.S. Constitution, you are committing treason. And as a U.S. citizen, you should be charged with that. And you should be charged at a minimum of removal of citizenship. We need to do that with natural born citizens as well. So what should happen is when a person becomes an adult, when a person becomes 17 years of age. Now, why? Why 17? Because 17 is the legal age that a person can drop out of school and go into the military. And so, you know, hopefully they'll get their GED. As a matter of fact, it'd be nice if the if all of the military was like the Marine Corps and required a high school diploma. Well, but they don't. I mean, the Army and the Navy will take lower educated people, and even though they may have a lower education, at least they're educated. At least they can read, they can sign their own name and those types of things. At least we'd hope to think that. But I think we're giving our, at least I'm giving our education system way too much credit because they're an absolute failure. Bottom line, the oath of citizenship gives us a responsibility. And your birthright, this is what I used to say all the time, your birthright responsibility equals a role that you're supposed to be taking in holding your public servants accountable and demanding action. And if they fail to act, we get rid of them. We need to start using our First Amendment rights of petition. We need to start demanding for common law courts and common law grand juries. And you have an obligation to be a part of the militia. Now, there's two militias. Now, the organized militia, you don't have to, and there are quotas, or there should be quotas to the organized militia. My point is that everybody should be engaged in the unorganized militia. And the problem is because we've never organized the unorganized militia because everybody looks at that as an oxymoron. No, it's not supposed to be organized. No. It's not organized as a fighting force. But it doesn't mean that you can't be organized as a civil political force in ensuring the Constitution is being adhered to. Voila! Did you hear that angelic, you know, that, what do you call that? That hum or that tone? Everybody needs to be a part of the unorganized militia. So this way we can actually start working together against the enemy. And I want you to understand that the enemy just isn't really the person. Because what ends up happening, there are good people. I've seen really good people go south because they completely get themselves entangled in this concept of statism, of force and compelling people. Yet they're hypocrites because, as I've said before, everybody wants to make their own decisions on what car they want to have, where they live, right? I mean, they don't want the state to tell them where to live, but they want everybody else to be told. They don't recognize their hypocrisy. Anybody that believes that everybody should be entitled to anything that they should have, then why don't you leave your keys in your car out on the street so it can be shared? Why don't you leave the doors, take the locks off your doors of your home, and put the food out instead of in your house, put it out there by the street so people can help themselves. This becomes so perverted that it actually goes against God's law and the law of nature. Natural law dictates that you have a right to property, but they support something that actually violates that. So when you get involved in things that absolutely violate natural law, then it all of a sudden becomes this, wow, I mean, it really jumps out at you. It really becomes self-evident that this is just an immoral, this is really wrong. It's the same thing with debasement. When we have a society that is so consumed with their carnal urges and their desires to satisfy themselves, whatever it is, and we put aside discipline and we put aside the need for, improving our society, improving ourselves, not just society, but ourselves. You cannot expect society to improve if you're not willing to improve yourself. We all have to be working on ourselves, right? And so, you know, getting up every day, I know it's tough, but life is tough, folks. We have to plug forward. So when we come back, we will kind of wrap this up as we move into the Toriax. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, folks, it's everyone's job to hold both our public servants accountable as well as our government. That's due to the oath. And if you want to really understand, you know, the enemy we're fighting is Satan here. And so many people, you know, we can get to that. We can get them to come to the reasoning, and we can get them to, you know, pull across from the other side. There are some. I don't want to say that they're beyond reproach. They're beyond help. But they have their own agency, and many people would, you know, are willing to go to the deathbed in the condition and the state that they, you know, they accept. They accept the fact that they believe in compelling people and they believe in doing evil. And if you understand that, you have to understand that their mantra is the ends justify the means. This is why, you know, the whole world, as far as the deep state, it is just this evil corruption. Why, you know, nobody has ever held the Clintons accountable. Why is that? Why is there this death count or this body count that is still in the wake of the Clintons? And we should actually look at a body count with all of these corrupt individuals, Obama and so forth. Fact of the matter is, my friends, that they don't care. The ends justify the means. So what does that mean? So where do we go from here? What do we have to do? Well, what that means is you have to get involved in holding your public servants and government accountable. We can't let Clintons actually ever seek and sit at the station of power. We have to have a full, and as a matter of fact, we have to have a full independent investigation. And we need to make sure that those who are investigating have zero ties. As a matter of fact, the best way to do it is to have common law grand juries. And As we understand this, because there has been a shift from the original Constitution to the 14th Amendment, where the states now have to protect the rights of the individuals, or they're constrained from being able to take away the immunities and privileges guaranteed under the U.S. Constitution. A part of that is a trial by common law. Now, if you look at a ticket that you pay for in a traffic ticket, you're paying more than $20. Why is it that you don't have a trial by jury? Oh, because that would become a big excessive cost for government to have to do that. Well, hold on here. Why do we have traffic laws? Is it for public safety? Okay. Well, if you're going to put in these types of tickets, then it should be for public safety purposes, not for revenue. Because anything greater than $20 for a traffic citation should require a common law jury. And you should be able to demand a common law jury, because if you look at the Constitution, any type of charge of the government, you should be able to walk in and say, I want a common law court, and I would like to, plead my case in front of a common law court. Because you have that right. It's right there in the Seventh Amendment. And so here's the point. This needs to, if we push this issue, the state would then be forced to say, okay, we cannot make tickets because they wrote it to $20 in the Constitution. I understand inflation. But when you write it down to that absolute amount, then that's how it should be. That's the letter of the law. And if you look at the police, and if you look at the way they're using this revenue collection thing, because they want to hold you to the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, then you should have the entitlement of being able to say, I want a common law court. I want a jury of my peers to judge me. I don't want you, judge, to determine whether I'm guilty or not. You shouldn't have that kind of power. You should actually just make sure that my rights are being upheld. But instead, mostly judges at traffic court, they're all about the revenue. It's a rigged system. So this is why we have to hold government accountable as well. I just went down this little rat hole just to show you that we have rights that they can't take away, which means that our federal government and those constraints that are placed upon it have now been constrained upon our state government. Now, they can't do these things, but they've been telling us, oh, well, we can. And the federal government just sits back on their hands as long as the progressive agenda moves forward. In other words, as long as they can, they don't invade your privacy, but if they label you as a terrorist, they can. What? If you're a citizen, you have these rights. If you're labeled as a terrorist, you should be anybody that is labeled as a terrorist that doesn't know it, they should be charged by the state that you are going to lose your citizenship because you're now considered a terrorist of the United States. Because the secret way of doing it is absolutely underhanded, and you have a right of due process because basically they've identified you as a criminal. And they can't do that. They can't label you and all of a sudden mark you that you can't fly. You can't do these things. That is what they call a bill of attainder, which the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, and Section 10 already made it so that the state and federal government couldn't do these things. Folks, constitutional illiteracy is killing us because we're actually allowing bills of attainder and ex post facto laws to be implemented by both the state and the federal government and even your local counties. This is why you have an obligation of holding these people accountable. Those who are not on board, they're basically any public servant who is not on board with upholding their oath of office is ultimately telling you that they support unconstitutional government and bad behavior and injustice against those who actually believe and have this fidelity that our government is one of justice or a just government. That's what I meant to say. Bottom line, we have to hold them accountable. This does not mean a person must be perfect or cannot be forgiven as a public servant. but they have to understand that their fidelity belongs to the Constitution, not to the party, not to their voters, to the Constitution. Because it doesn't matter if you have a majority of Democrats in your precincts or in your county or what have you. They still have to be held accountable. And this is how common law courts in the states, because how many states have red counties? Oh, a lot. As a matter of fact, all of them. And even the blue states have more red counties than blue counties. And so if you start having common law courts and common law grand juries, you can actually, from a red county, start indicting these culprits, these criminals, these corrupt public servants throughout the state, starting with your governor, your state legislators, and any even judges. They can all be indicted. Well, something you didn't know, because we've talked about the Supreme Court not having the power to actually make law. Well, the fact of the matter is that the Supreme Court in 1935 said, we're no longer recognizing common law courts. In other words, they passed a law that says we're not going to abide by the Seventh Amendment anymore. Are you kidding me? Where did they have the authority to do that? And everybody just goes along with it because they're legally smart and they know what they're doing. Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're putting every little, you know, irrigation trench that they need to basically drain away our liberty. And they're doing it based on this facade that they have the authority to do this. This is why when I talk to people, they get all excited about, oh, you know, the real problem is these corporations. No. The real problem is the same problem with everything. Everything the government has done, almost everything that they're doing, is unconstitutional, from the corporations, from even before that, when they created the Department of Interior. That was unconstitutionally done. And we prove this. Go to our videos. Go to Reclaiming the Republic videos on YouTube. Just Reclaiming the Republic YouTube, and you'll actually go to our channel. Go look at the three presidents' veto on the Department of Transportation. Go watch that. It's a 5-minute video. And in that video, we cut to the chase. We give you all of the facts. And then go read the citations that we provide at the very end. I know you'll have to actually type it out because you can't necessarily cut and paste. Sorry. But all you've got to do is look for the bonus bill, Madison's veto of the bonus bill. And then you can actually look where to go find, you know, Monroe's veto and Andrew Jackson's veto. Now you have everything you need. Yeah, I could make Reclaiming the Republic a repository of every document under the sun that you need to have, and I probably should do that. It's just that I'm a busy guy and I'm a one-man show. This is why I'm asking you for help. And if you can help, let me know. Let me know where you live. Let me know, and we will start connecting you with people, even in California. You know, California may have 60-some million people, or, you know, and a large percentage of them are illegal, are invaders, but there are still a lot. There's millions of conservatives in California. They're not that overwhelmed, but when it comes to adding the illegals or the invaders to the voter opinion and the consensus and everything else, then they are overwhelmed. You take away, and I think somebody said it's like 11 million invaders that live in California. Wow, I mean, that's a lot, folks. Well, we didn't get a chance to get into the Tory Acts. We didn't get a chance to get into some of the other stuff. So obviously, we'll pick this up next week. I'm sorry for ranting. I'm not an entertainer, but you can tell I'm very passionate. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government.
This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.